Just talk.
Another step, and you'll be arrow-pricked, all four of you.
Rika stopped where she was and showed both her open hands and all her teeth. Her father used to tell her your best shield is a smile. She'd been sceptical then. Looking up at the black battlements, with here or there a glimpse of a bow or arrow, she was sceptical now. No one else was smiling. Shivers was a man who subscribed to the notion that your best shield is a shield. The Nail was a man who scorned the whole notion of shields, and if offered one, would no doubt have gone for an extra axe instead. Corlys, meanwhile, was still working at her angry little dog act, fists clenched tight around the staff of the banner with the long eyes stitched into it. Still, good teeth were one of Ricker's few natural blessings that hadn't been covered with tattoos or blinded with a needle, so she made the best use of them and smiled up wide enough to compensate for all the funereal faces.
"Wouldn't want to be arrow-pricked," she called. "I mean, who does? You know who I am?"
A pause, and then very sour.
"Ricker, with a long eye."
"Says so on the banner, eh?" And Ricker nodded towards it. "Not to mention my face. No need to worry. I've just come to talk. I'm guessing you're Broad Silent."
"I am."
"Good, good. I hear Black Calder's gone off to suck some cocks up in the High Valleys and left you holding the baby. That right?"
Silence. Though what could you expect from a man called Silent?
"I'll treat that like a yes."
Ricker nodded to the Nail, and he hefted the casket down off his shoulder and dropped it on the cobbles with a thump and a jingle.
"So I've got... what have I got? Did you count it?"
Shivers shrugged.
"I look like a banker to you."
The Nail shrugged too.
"Once I get past 15, I'm all over the place."
"Well, let's see."
Ricker squatted beside the box and opened it so everyone up there could get a good look at the contents. As luck would have it, the sun slipped out right then and lent the whole heap a pretty glitter.
"I've got quite a lot of silver. 2,000 pieces, maybe?"
She rooted through it with that merry clinking that somehow only money makes.
"There's some Carlian coins here, and some Union, and some Styrian scales, and what's this?"
She held a big coin up to the light, had a head on both sides.
"Gurkish," grunted Shivers. "Emperor on one side, prophet on t'other."
"A Gurkish coin, how about that? All the way from the sunny south."
She stood, brushing her knees off.
"Anyway, this is for whoever opens the gates. How you split it up is up to you. If Master Silent wants to open them, he can share it out, I guess."
She left a meaningful pause.
"Or the rest of you could. Have yourselves a wrestling match over the Gurkish one. Your business, long as someone lets us in."
"You ain't buying your way in here,"
shouted Silent from up on the wall, but he sounded a little shrill over the possibility.
"Well,"
she said, all innocence,
"you've got another choice."
The Nail did that trick of curling his lip and whistling with just his teeth, so loud it was almost painful, and armed men showed themselves between every building, at every door and window around the walls. Battle-hardened, well-armed men of Ufrith and the West Valleys, dozens of them, and adding not one smile to the tally.
"Which is, I give these bastards the money to come over the walls and draw the bolts from that side."
Ricker pressed a hand to her chest.
"Now, I've naught but pride for how peaceful we've been so far, and when it comes to bloodshed, I'd rather have a trickle than a flood. But I've seen myself sitting in Scarlin's chair with this banner behind."
She turned her left eye towards them and tapped at her tattooed cheek.
"I've seen it with the long eye, understand? So it's happening. That's a done deal. Whether you bastards end up rich or dead on the way, the cost's about the same to..."
There was a breathy cry and something came flying off the battlements. "Oh," muttered Ricker, before Shivers dragged her back and down and stuck his shield in front of her. The Nail didn't shift a hair. He was one of those rare men goes beyond bravery to a kind of madness where there's no regard for danger at all. He just watched whatever it was plummet down, hands on hips, and didn't even flinch as it crashed into the cobbles a stride or two in front, spotting him with blood. He peered at the mess with his brow a little wrinkled.
"How's that, then?"
Shivers slowly stood, gently let go of Ricker.
"Broad silent, I expect."
"Hold on!" someone called from the battlements. "We're coming down!"
"They didn't think about that for long,"
said the Nail, wiping the blood from his cheek. Ricker got up, frowning at Silent's twisted corpse, the side of his face that wasn't squashed into the cobbles, gawping wide-eyed with surprise. She thought of the first time she saw a man killed. Those three, she and Isern ran into in the woods the day Ulfrith burned. Was it really only a year or two back? The cold shock as she let go the bowstring, the hurt look in that boy's eyes, still gave her a shiver. Then she thought of all the deaths she'd seen since, the murders and the battles and the duels, the last expressions, the last words, the last breaths, all blurred into one. The blood rolled off her now, like milk off a greased pan. Isern always said you have to make of your heart a stone. She took a breath and kicked the casket closed. Ricker's father had been less than complimentary on the subject of Skarling's Hall, a cold, hard, rock-carved room for cold, hard, rock-carved men. The place Bethod had seized the north, the place Black Dow betrayed the Bloody Nine, the place Black Calder had ordered 100 killings and thievings and petty backstabbings. But Ricker was a firm believer that dark pasts don't have to mean dark futures, and she was pleasantly surprised by the mood in there. She felt honesty in the light streaming through the high windows. She saw strength in its bare stone walls. She heard truth in the sound of the rushing river far below. The cold, though, she could not deny. Summer was well and truly gone.
"Someone get a fire lit, eh?"
she called out as the named men tramped into the hall.
"Before I shiver my tits off." "Such as they are," said Isern, frowning down. "A clean floor is a thing the moon despises. A clean floor bespeaks a small mind."
"Better than a dirty one, isn't it? Bespeaks an orderly mind, I reckon."
"Same thing."
Isern curled her lip back, spat a long chagger stain across the stones, and gave a nod of satisfaction, like she'd made a small improvement to the world.
"You never know, that might be the spot where my daddy near killed the Bloody Nine for killing my brother."
Shivers gave a snort.
"Ain't far from the spot where I near killed the Bloody Nine for killing my brother."
"Maybe you should have done it," said Isern.
"Maybe he's a game with no winners."
Shivers turned that ring on his little finger thoughtfully around.
"I let go of my regrets. You'll swim better without their weight."
There was a clash and rattle from the corner of the hall. The Nail had stalked up to the iron cage hanging in the back corner, and now his knuckles were white at the bars, like he'd rip it apart with his big bare hands.
"Doubt you'll pull it down without some tongs or something," said Ricker, strolling up.
"I'll pull it down one way or another,"
he snarled as he wrenched it about, chains jingling.
"I say leave it up."
The Nail turned on her, holding one fist up under her nose, close enough she had to look at it a little cross-eyed.
"My father died in this fucking cage."
"Aye."
She soaked his rage up with a smile, like a bundle of fresh-shorn fleece might soak up punches.
"And we might need it to hold the folk who killed him."
And she put her forefinger on that great scarred mass of fist and gently pushed it down. The Nail blinked, like he was puzzling that through. Then he started to smile.
"I could get to like you."
"I'm likable, known for it. Likable Ricker, they call me."
"Who's they?"
"Just, you know, they." "Would my Lady of the Long Eye care to bring her vision to pass?"
Isern flicked dust from the seat of Skarling's chair, standing on its dais in the light of the great windows, polished by the asses of the great men of yesteryear.
"Guess someone's got to sit in it," said Ricker. "And I did come all this way, and in mixed weather, too."
And she spun about and dumped herself down. She shifted one way, she shifted the other.
"Well?"
asked Shivers.
"Bit hard on the arse." "Was there a cushion in your vision?" asked Isern. "You might think of finding one if you planned to perch there long."
The nail stretched his chin a long way forward to scratch at his throat.
"Do you plan to perch there long?"
Ricker looked up at Shivers. He raised his brows. She looked up at Isern. She raised hers.
"Well," she said, and noisily spat again, "I dare say none of Crummikifail's children would disagree with my considered opinion that—"
She left an unnaturally long pause before finishing.
"We could do worse." "My thanks for that ringing endorsement," said Ricker.
"They'll be back, you know," said the nail. "Stour and all his warriors."
And he jerked his thumb towards the door, as if he expected them to troop in any moment.
"Some will be," said Ricker. "But if King Orso took any notice of the letter I sent him, they'll have a much harder fight than they were expecting. So Stour'll come back with a lot fewer warriors than you were expecting, if he comes back at all."
The nail stared at her, mouth slightly open. "Spent a year in Austenhorn," she explained, "with what they call a governess."
"What's that? Some kind of witch?"
"A particularly boring kind of one. But to be fair, it turns out learning to write has its uses."
"So?"
The nail narrowed his eyes, counting off the points on his fingers.
"You promised the young lion you were going with him. Then not only did you not go, you stole his ally's land while he was gone and warned his enemies he was coming."
Ricker stretched her chin a long way forward to scratch at her throat, the way he'd done a moment ago.
"Sounds somewhat underhand, put that way, but once you've stabbed a man in the back, you're best off stabbing him a few more times, don't you reckon? Make sure of the job."
"There's my girl,"
grunted Shivers.
"She was listening, after all," said Isern, stretching up on her tiptoes.
The nail gave a disbelieving little titter, staring at her with something close to admiration.
"I could really get to like you,"
he said, and he whipped the black fur he wore off his shoulders.
"You said something about a cushion."
"What fine manners,"
said Ricker, sitting up long enough for him to slip it behind her, then wriggling back into it.
"Best not get carried away with yourself,"
said Shivers, nudging at the drooping lid of his metal eye with a knuckle.
"Black Calder's still out there."
Isern nodded.
"He spent a lot of effort winkling his son onto that chair, do you see? Won't be overjoyed to hear you've wedged your skinny ass into his place."
"He'll be ready the moment you trip up." "And he's got friends all over," said the nail, "and debts owed and favours to call on. King Orso won't be ridding us of him, no matter what letters you write."
"No," said Ricker. "Black Calder we'll have to deal with ourselves. And unlike his son, he's a man who earned his name. Earned it with cleverness and treachery and ruthlessness," said Isern. "All qualities much loved by the moon."
Shivers had his eye on Skarling's chair.
"Trouble with being a strong man or a clever man with a big bad name," he said, and he ought to know, after all, "is that folk always have their best fight ready for you."
The nail nodded along in sympathy.
"There are times I wish folk had never heard of me. Look small, look foolish, got no name. Well, that's when you're given chances."
Ricker tapped at the arm of Skarling's chair with her fingernail, picked at the scratched and faded layers of paint that centuries of rulers had picked at before her, that Skarling Hoodless himself picked at for all she knew.
"No strength like looking weak, eh?"
"What are you thinking?"
asked Shivers.
"What my father would have said once he got over the shock of seeing me here."
and Ricker looked up. Sitting in it's nothing special. It's staying in it that's the trick.